Thank you very much for the reading of God's word. Amen. This morning, this morning I wanted to start off by asking you if you took me up on my challenge to pray each morning, asking God, saying, Lord, thank you for waking me up today and inviting me to be part of your day. I surrender my body, my mind to you, and I seek that I would understand what you were doing and what you were up to so that I could be part of it. And then I said to look around throughout your day and to see where God was, where you saw God. And so I'm wondering, did anybody do that? And if so, does anybody? Yes. Ian, do you have anything you want to share? Here, let's, because people online can't hear, and so there we are.
Hi, Les. You're watching online. I can attest to that. I put that in my morning prayers, and my friend Jim, he describes himself as I'm a prayer, a guy who believes in prayer. And so I've known him through work and have a really close relationship with him, and so I said he said, hey, let's get together Wednesday, and I said, sure, but I'm going to a Bible study. Would you like to come? Yes, he says, as you can attest, he was there and and stuff like that. So it was really cool. This is the first time that he's actually put his feet to the road and you know, hey, that sounds great, usually is what I get, and then nothing comes of it. So that was a blessing, and that's fruition.
Amen. So, that's amen. Good. Anybody else? Just a second here. Karen?
Lots of people. Hi. I guess I want to share. I'm not really sure if it goes with what that is, but I think it does. I'm new here because it's been over 2 years since I found a church, and so you guys are it, I think. But in doing that prayer, I've been more socially busy than I have for quite a while. Mind you, I finished some renovations, but what has happened, because it was really weird, is that when I started to pray, not so much that bit, but when I'd go into the prayers I wanted for the people in my life and such, something really weird happened, and I almost went into a trance and have rivers and rivers of my life and my sins and my successes and the whole thing. And I just feel like it's all because of coming back to the church, as well as saying, come on in, Lord. And I'm just seeing, well, of course, all the things that have to go away.
Thank you, Karen.
Okay. You know, I took up that challenge, and I prayed that prayer, you know, because I wanted to be obedient to the pastor. But I have to admit, I had very little faith. I thought, well, like my life is kind of ordinary pretty much, right? So I didn't expect a lot, but I did my duty anyway. And we live, people that might not know us, we live on the ocean side, and we face the east. So every morning I do have a little solitude time down there. And last week I was down there for a little bit before sunrise. So as it's been lately, it's been cloudy. There was just a dark cloud hanging low and hanging over the ocean. And that's pretty ordinary. I could just see the gray clouds and didn't expect much. But then I noticed there was a little slit in the sky in the far east side. And so bear with me. I'm going to get to the point here. So I noticed that slit, and I knew the sun was coming up soon. And it did come up, and it was just the clouds instantly, the whole horizon just covered in oranges and reds and yellows, and the clouds are kind of warped like this, so it was absolutely stunning. breathtaking, like a situation where you just couldn't help but worship God. So that was a pretty cool experience. But then I noticed something a little unusual, because you're all thinking, well, sunsets are sunset. We've seen them, right? But I noticed there was a narrow band coming from the east that was gray. It wasn't bright and shiny and colorful, just that narrow band all the way from the east. And I thought, well, what could be causing that? And so as I looked along the band and followed it all the way to the horizon, I saw that it was the peak of Mount Baker. And that really struck me, because the whole sky was covered in this beauty, and then there was that one streak of gray. And I thought, what an amazingly beautiful creator we have. It just really hit me hard. So you can tell. Another thing happened that was later on in the week, that I was doing my devotions and I came across, you won't believe it, it was Psalm 103. And it was just so beautiful. You know, I mean, I've seen that psalm before, and I'm sure you've experienced that before, but sometimes it just grips you how God loves us so much. And, excuse me, I was thinking about the beauty of God's word as well as the beauty of his creation. And we came across in our Connect group, we're studying 1 Corinthians, and I came across this verse. It says, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. And I've always kind of thought about that verse as, you know, someday when I'm in heaven, I'm going to see all that beauty. It's right here.
Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to save the rest for coffee time. So if you encountered something with the Lord this week because of your willingness to pray that prayer, and then to seek him, share it with those around you. So I will just quickly say, for me this week, as I prayed that prayer, I stepped out of the office and I was coming back into the office, and my time was short, and I knew I had to get a few things done that I wanted to get done. And as I started to come in, this lady was walking down the sidewalk. You know how when people are walking, you know that they're just not walking down the sidewalk, but they're walking with intent. And I knew that she was going to hail me down, and I tried to ignore her. I tried quickly as possible to get into the door, but she called out, "Hey!" And I turned around and I said, "Yes." She goes, "My car won't start. Do you have jumper cables?" You know, I do not know. I don't know anything more than the fact that I went and jumped her vehicle and got her going again. And she told me that I was a lifesaver. But I know that I needed to slow down. I know I needed to just be aware that God was certainly doing something. And that, at that moment, was what he was doing. And she needed a jump, and I actually could do that for her. I have a little one of those jumper packs, you know. She goes, "This is so cool. I need one of those. Where can I get one?" No, I didn't give her mine. Okay, so the other thing, just so you know, that my iPad, you know, I preach off my iPad, I go to turn it on, and it just dies. So thankfully, I've got my notes here, and we'll go off them. I thought about just preaching without them to see how well I would do. But I actually wanted today to try to focus on what I have written here. And so I might do a little bit more reading than off the cuff. You know how I do that and stuff. But as we spoke last week about being transformed and about our vision statement of that we want to see ourselves, this community, and the world transformed. And so today we're going to talk about that part of about being in the presence of God, living daily with Jesus. What does that look like? If we want to see our community transformed, if we want to see our lives transformed, then it must be with the fact of us engaging with Jesus. Because we don't transform anything. You think about that. We're not going to transform this community. That might be a little bummer for you to think about. We're not going to transform this world. We are not going to do that. People try all the time, do they not? You were praying about control, and control is probably the thing upon this earth in which we struggle with the most of what we want to control our lives, and we want to control the situations around us. We want to control the people around us. But the truth is we cannot do that. And the harder we try, I think the more disappointment we come up with. Now, that may seem like that's discouraging, but I think it's actually encouraging because it brings me to a place of, is there someone or something that can bring transformation? The truth is yes, and that truth is Jesus. Very good. You gave the great Sunday school answer. I love it. I led you right up to it, and you took it. That's wonderful. Yeah, here is the place is that what will transform our lives, what will transform our community and the world is Jesus. And so it has to begin with us. I'm the only one that can control what happens in my life with Jesus. As much as the people around me may want to control me or I want to control them, it's only manipulation and that only ends in disappointment. But when I allow God to work in my life, something takes place. Here is a truth. We are continuously being transformed. Think about that. You are continuously being transformed by something. To say that nothing is happening in your life, you could say that, but it's not valid. Something is always happening in your life. You are always being transformed. There's not much I enjoy listening to on CBC. I try to catch the news here and there. But there is one show that I really do enjoy listening to. It's Terry O'Reilly's Under the Influence. Anybody listen to that one? Yeah. That's probably my favorite show there. And his program is all about advertisements and how we are under the influence of advertisements. They estimate, I like it. You know, you Google something and I could give you the reference, but anyways, I like to say they. They estimate that today you and I interact with between 4,000 to 10,000 advertisements a day. 4,000 to 10,000 advertisements a day. In the 70s, that's when I was a teenager, in the 70s, I interacted with between 500 to 1,600 advertisements a day. So there's been quite a bit of a change. I know I'm old, but there has been quite a bit of change that has taken place. We are overloaded with advertising. And it causes us to have ad fatigue. It's a thing, it's a real thing, ad fatigue. And we do a good job of actually becoming banner blind. You know how you get those banners that come up alongside or whatever, you know, you try to read an article and it just, there's all these banners that come up and we become banner blind. Yet, millions upon millions of dollars are spent on advertisement every day. Why? Because they actually influence us. We are under the influence of advertisements. And so it is it is something for which, of course, I know none of you in this room are, right? None of you. That doesn't fit any of you. You're not. You are immune to advertising. You never click on an ad that takes you somewhere, and you've never bought anything off of an ad, right? Okay, I'm the only one. I know that. So I'm just talking to me, which is fantastic. So each one of us encounters these ads. Each one of us are being influenced. We're constantly being influenced in our life. And so here's the truth. Each day we can choose to allow the world to transform us or Jesus. That to me is wonderful. That to me gives me great hope. I have a choice. I have a choice this day. Is this world going to influence me or is Jesus going to influence me? And that is a choice that we have. So I think a great question to ask ourselves in the morning is, who or what will form me today? Who or what will form me today? So you get up in the morning, just like you say, God, thank you for waking me up today. You have woken me up to be part of your day. You invited me to be part of your day. No one wakes up to say, well, okay, I created this day. You didn't create the day. God did. And he woke you up and he invited you to be part of his day. And so in so doing, in being intentional that you and I would say, God, who or what will form me today? And I want it to be you. I want it to be you. Look at Romans 12, 2. We'll do a little bit of a deeper dive into this in the coming weeks. But in Romans 12, 2, it's a familiar verse. Matter of fact, many of you could probably quote this verse this morning. But it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the testing, by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. To be conformed to this world or to be transformed. Why is Paul writing these verses? Because we know that we are under the influence of the world. He knew that we were under the influence of the world. And something is going to transform us. And we have the great opportunity every day we wake up to be transformed by renewing of our mind, be transformed by what God wants to do in our lives. Jesus tells a parable. In your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 7. See if I got this right. Whenever you live in a dyslexic world and you write things down, you never know what you've actually written down until you're in public and you tell people to turn someplace. And then you go, oh, that's not really what I wanted at all. Here we go. Matthew 7 and verse 24 and 26. Here we are. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And when the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And anyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who has built his house on the sand. And when the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house, it fell. And great was the fall of it. Where am I going with this? Well, in verse 24, it says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them or practices them. And what words is it? Well, we go back, and this is right at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is given the instructions of what the kingdom of God looks like. And so he says that these words of mine, if you practice them, if you practice being in my presence, you are building on a sure foundation. That when the winds come and the storms come, you will stand firm. I love the fact that the picture that Jesus gives is an if they come. It's when they come. We are going to experience storms. We're going to experience wind. But here's the great part, is that if we find ourselves practicing, engaging in the Word of God, engaging in who Jesus is, practicing being in His presence, we are building on a strong foundation. So, that was Matthew. Here's another question. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Now, that can be a loaded question, I know. We'll turn to another scripture verse, Colossians 1, 27. Colossians is one of my favorite little books that Paul has written. And as he writes these words, I'm going to just take this one verse. And it says this, to them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of his glory, of this mystery. So what is this mystery? So is he saying here, listen, church, God in his wisdom, he has made known something that is wonderful and great and glorious. And this mystery is this. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Where is Jesus? Where? In us. That's where he is. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now here's the thing. I think sometimes where we get straight on this is that when we think or we hear the word glory, we go to a place of what is to come. The glory that is to come. And that is true. There is a glory that is to come. Amen? But there is a glory right now, and that is Christ in you. My mind goes, how can that be? Christ in me. This is what God wants us to realize, is that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Meaning that if he is with me, he wants you and I to be actively present with him. He wants us to engage with him every aspect that we possibly can in our lives. Salvation is more than simply what is to come. Salvation, as I mentioned last week, is what I need today. I need to be saved today. That's what I need today. So this week I had the opportunity to do some teaching to some African pastors. And this group that I teach on this particular Wednesday is a group that I was able to spend time with them and their wives when I was there last year in Uganda, or maybe it was this year in Uganda. And as I spent time online with them and I got done teaching, as I taught with them, when I get done, I just say, hey, what is your observation? What did you hear? What was God speaking to you? And we just begin to dialogue about it. And so when I threw that out there right away, Pastor John says, I am saved, he says. I am saved. And it's like, well, okay, Pastor John, I know that you are saved, okay? So what are you saying? And he says, you know, what you said today for me has brought me salvation because I realized where I was and I needed to be saved out of this place that wasn't good for me. And I needed to be brought into the right place. I was saved. And I thought, yes, amen, Brother John. I too need to be saved each day. Christ is alive in us now, allowing us to be saved every moment of every day. That is a good thing. That is something in which we can say, God, thank you. Right now, here's my question. As you sit here today, what are you wrestling with? What is one thing that you are wrestling with in your life right now? Don't speak it out loud. If you're online, go ahead. Do you need to be saved from that? That's the hope of glory in our lives. That he came to rescue us from that right now, today. Not just what is in the future, but right now, today. Dallas Willard says this. He says, salvation is being caught up in the life that Jesus is now living on earth. Look at that. Salvation is being caught up in the life that Jesus is living now on earth. He goes on to say, what is his relationship with his life to your life? He lives in you. Amen? Amen. All right, I'm actually staying pretty close to my notes. It's pretty good. But I have more. I brought a tomato, I brought a cutting board, and I brought a knife. Now, if you're allergic to tomatoes or you can't have tomatoes, don't shake my hand today, okay? But here's the deal. I want us to see something. I want us to recognize this Christ in us, and what does that actually mean? What does that actually look like? So, I have this great tomato here, and I'm going to cut it. Not bad. There's a seed in this tomato. Now, this tomato that I got, I wish I could say that I grew this tomato. But I did not. Raina did. And she grew this tomato from a seed. Now, you can't really see that seed. You maybe can up here, yeah? That's why you sit in the front row, isn't it? Yeah, so you can see. So here's this little seed. This little seed has a tremendous amount of potential. This seed has a tremendous amount of potential. Who are gardeners here? Let me see. Raise your hand. I want to see the gardeners. Fantastic. You are wonderful. You are my heroes because I like eating what you grow. I just don't do a very good job of growing myself. And you know about seeds, don't you? You know about the potential that is in this seed. I want you to see Christ in you like a seed, like this potential that is there. This seed here has the potential of doing what? Growing, of sprouting, and the roots go down, and then it starts to come up. You can look at time lapses. I thought about showing one here today, but you can do that on your own. And it starts to grow up, and it keeps growing and growing and growing, and then it will begin to bear fruit. And not just one, but fruits, lots of fruit. From this one little tiny seed. See, this seed has the reality of producing what it was created for. The seed of Christ in us has this reality of what God created us to be and to do. Let's look at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. Jesus actually talks quite a bit about the seed. He talks about the word, the logos, being the seed, the gospel being the seed. And he talks about this seed. But here, I want us to see in 13, 31 to 32. And it says, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and he sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make their nest in its branches. What is Jesus saying? He's saying that that seed has this great potential of doing something. It gets planted. It gets planted, and then it produces. The kingdom of God, heaven, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, it is in us. It's who Christ is. He is the reality in us that we may be all we were created to be. Do you hear that? He is the reality of us. He's the reality in us that we may be all that we were created to be. This world, we can chase after this world to try to be who we think we should be or who we want to be, but it will not satisfy us. But chasing after Christ, that satisfies us. That brings out the potential of who we are. So, how does this happen? How does this little seed become a plant that produces something, produces fruit? Where does that come from? It comes from abiding with him. It comes from abiding with Jesus. It comes from living daily with Jesus. So I want to finish off by talking a little about what does that look like? How do we do that? And so in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, you can turn there. We're not going to go inch by inch through this because you would I don't know, not come back next week because we'd be here too long. But this word abiding or to abide, it's daily living with Jesus. It simply means to abide, to be with. The word abide means to tarry. It means to linger with Jesus. I like that. I like that thought of lingering with Jesus, of just kind of, you know, not rushing, but lingering, about being, about recognizing that he is in us. It's not just something that is in the future, but it is what is today. So the question is what are you abiding in? What are you lingering in? Where are you spending your time? Because that's what's going to influence you. Here are a few things that abiding does. Abiding is being with Jesus. Abiding produces fruit. You and I don't produce the fruit. Christ in us produces a fruit. We abide so the fruit will come. Abiding recognizes the potential of Christ that lives in us. Abiding will bring about refining. He'll cut off what is not needed so that we will produce much fruit. As I abide with him, I am realigned into his thinking. I'm realigned into the way I look at the world around me. So, somebody's asked me, how are you, Scott? And, you know, my answer is, good. Or sometimes I just say terrible, just because I want to say something different. But, how is Scott? Scott has been struggling. It has been a tough couple of weeks for me, maybe even a month. You've been there? And in those times, it is the hardest to abide with Jesus. Because where I want to abide is in the things that seem dark, that seem discouraging. And when I do, I can't see my way through them. I was at a meeting the other day, and someone says they had noticed those that aren't here, people that are missing. And I'm going, yeah, I noticed that too. And where I notice it the most is I noticed it with our kids, our families. And I'm thinking, we're losing families, young families. And it's weighing heavy on me. So I'm struggling to abide with Jesus. And you know where I want to go? You know where I go? I go, it's got to be me. I go, I think I'm just too old. I'm just being honest with you, okay? I'm not looking for you to come up and run up and say, oh, Scott, I'm not looking for that, okay? I'm just trying to tell you the reality of where I can live. But I also can choose to abide in Jesus. So what are you struggling with? Is it my responsibility of who comes here? Whose church is it? God's church. Does it mean that I won't pray about it? Does it mean I won't do something about it or that we shouldn't? Yes, it means that we will, but it's not my responsibility. It's God's. And so I seek him to say, God, what do you want us to do? Where do you want us to go? What is it? Because I know that you don't want this church not to have small children. I love our teenagers. I love our college students. I like you too that are older. So what do I need to do? I need to actively, presently, seek God and abide in him. Because he is in those circumstances. He is in this right now. And so I can abide in him. And there is joy in that. So, what does abiding look like practically? We recognize the presence of Jesus in everything I do. In everything I do. So, anybody have assignments you need to do for school? Anyone? Yep, okay. Yep, a few of you. Yep. I need to look at those, you need to look at those and go, thank you, Jesus, for that assignment. Yeah, because he's in that assignment. Anybody have a meal here to prep, you know, to do, to make? Yeah, yeah. Do you ever say, thank you, Jesus, that you're in this meal? You probably go, oh, I got to make another meal. What am I going to have today? Any of you commute to work? Yeah, a few of you. Yeah, to say, thank you, Jesus, that you're in my commute. Any of you retired here? All right, a few of you. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus, that you are in my retirement. Because that's where he is. when you are in your marriage and you're going, ugh, he is in your ugh. How do I look at that? To look and say, God, you're in there, and thank you. Thank you that you are present in my marriage, in my family, in my commute, in my retirement, in my assignments. Because you're in there, you're doing something, you're revealing something, and I am looking for that. I'm just looking, where are you, God? And I'm going to celebrate that. See, where was God in my dark points? Right there, right with me. And that is joy in the Lord. So I would encourage you to just begin to thank God for being present in your life. In the little things. Just start there in the little things. In your routine. You get up in the morning, you're brushing your teeth. You ever say, thank you, God? You're present right now as I brush my teeth. Does he care that you brush your teeth? Yeah, he might. I mean, he gave them to you, right? He wants you to take care of them. That's what we tell our kids anyways. Take care of your teeth. I think he's just overjoyed that you are present, that you are seeking him presently as you brush your teeth. So, last week, we started down the path with you practicing waking up each morning and thanking God that he invited you to be part of his day. You're seeking to surrender your life to him to discover what he is doing around us so that you or we can be part of it. This week, the practice I would like to suggest to you is this. Take time to consider your routines, what you do each day. Then choose a few of these routines and thank him. Thank Jesus for his presence. Simply acknowledge God's presence in your life, your routines, helps you understand what he is doing right now and enabling you to be part of it. Because if we can trust him in the routines and the mundane, we will trust him in those other areas too. God just isn't present when we're in crisis. God is not just present when we're here worshiping. God is present every aspect and moment of our day. And when we can engage with that, that's what begins to transform us. That's what takes that little seed of Christ in us and begins to cause the roots to go down and for us to grow and to bear much fruit. Because we are actively seeking him in his presence. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you, God, for your presence. In every and all circumstances. Lord, you are in us, which is the hope of glory today. Lord, you have rescued us from the dominion of darkness today. Father, may we find great joy and may we celebrate that you are with us. Lord, help us to recognize and just acknowledge and be thankful that you are present in the routine things that we do. In the assignments that we have to accomplish, in the caring for our families. God, I pray that as a church, we will hunger to know you. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen.